Welcome to Radio Today, your easy listening music station.
60 Plus is brought to you by Methodist Homes for the Aged.
Good afternoon, listeners. Welcome to 60 Plus, your very own retirement program. My name is Estelle de Tour, and I have with me in studio Lauren Fazy, the manager of one of MHA villages called Summit Village in Roodepoort. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you, Estelle.
Today we are talking about independent living. Lauren, assisted living, independent living, frail care, mid care, step down, convalescence, all these terms can become rather confusing for any person investigating retirement options. So what is independent living exactly?
Estelle, independent living is simply any housing arrangement designed exclusively for seniors, generally those aged 55 and older. However, MHA only accepts those aged 60 and over. Housing varies widely from different apartment styles, such as your flats, to freestanding homes, and those can vary from two bedrooms with two bathrooms to bathrooms with a garage. We have one bedrooms, there's bachelors and there's bedsitters as well. And one could either purchase those or there are villages that have to rent as well. This type of housing is friendlier to the older adults, and often been more compact with an easier navigation and less maintenance and yard work. In this type of environment, it is most suitable for a person who is capable of living independently without the assistance of nurses and of a 24/7 nursing staff. And they would be expected to still be able to drive, to cook, shop, and take care of their own financial affairs. The key difference between independent living and other housing options is the level of assistance offered for daily activities.
Okay. And how does one really know if independent living is the right choice for you?
Oh, that's a big one, and I think it really depends on you as an individual person. But when you're an older adult, any thought of moving into a retirement village can be quite daunting, and you feel as though you're actually losing your independence. However, if one looks at the word independent living, it suggests more about making your life easier than actually giving up your independence. Sometimes I think one needs to acknowledge your limitations, like managing the upkeep of your existing home. For example, accepting some assistance may help maintain your regular independence for longer. In today's society, one also needs to start looking at the pace of life. Most families are working continuously, so they have less time to actually care for their parents. I know it's such a shame that the caring part of life has become
but that is
a fairy
the truth.
Tale.
I myself find it with my mother.
Absolute fairy tale now. But I don't want to debate this topic too much. Maybe it's not so much about caring, but really due to survival, so that children can get on with their busy schedules. As everyone differs in so many ways, and there can be no actual answer to the question, is independent living right for me? There's certain questions that one can ask yourself. How easy is it for me to maintain my current home? How easy is it for me to get around? How's my health? And do I feel secure where I am at the moment?
Thank you for that, because I think a lot of listeners want the guidelines like you gave now, those specific questions that you've got to ask yourself. It's very well asking these questions and preparing oneself for retirement, but how does one know that you are choosing the right facility?
I don't think there's one definite answer to that. What you need from independent living is, or a retirement facility, depends on your own unique needs and your situation. And with so much variation in services these days, one needs to think about which are the most important to you and your future. Because I don't want people to sit at 60 and say, well, I don't have a future. Of course you have a future. So when you go out and you start visiting these communities, consider the following aspects. The people, the residents at the village. Walk around, have a chat with them. See if you might get along with a few. See what the general atmosphere is there.
And they will very quickly tell you what it is like.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then also assess the size and the location. You know, depending on the person you are, do you want to live in a bigger community? Do you want to live in a smaller community? The size of the apartments. Do you want to take all your belongings with you? Generally, the apartments or the homes that you're moving into are, of course, smaller. But see what you'll be able to fit in, you know. Is it close to hospitals, doctors, shops, banks? Is it a short drive for you, a long drive for you? Look at all those aspects. And the activities. Would you still be able to go to your bowling club, or would you have to transfer to another bowling club? The activities within the village. If you play bridge, maybe you'd like to continue playing where you are, or start a club at the village. Look at those activities that interest you. Or if you're thinking about moving into that village, start a new activity and get others to join you. Care is also very, very important. Most villages have 24/7 care, and these should be accessible. Some only have a nurse that is on call, and some only have a day nurse or a day sister in the village. So you really need to look at those aspects of the village as well. Most villages do allow you to bring in a care worker. You also need to look at, does the village have a relationship with EMS?
The emergency people.
Yes, and doctors in the area. You know, you don't want to be in a situation and they don't. You need service immediately when it comes to that.
For sure.
And the security, is the area safe? Is their security tight? That's one of the reasons you move in there, for the security. It is also, I think, vitally important to ask as many questions as possible in order to come to a conclusion, and maybe write these questions down before you go and investigate villages so that they can be answered right then and there for you. Then you can take your notes home and decide which way you want to go.
So what you are saying, this is a very personal choice, and a choice nobody else can actually make for you.
Yes. And I don't even think your children can make that choice for you. They could advise. And you could go to financial advisors as well, and you can go to managers of villages and talk to them. But it's your personal choice.
You talked about 24/7 care, and I know that moving from independent living into a care facility is a very traumatic experience for most residents. Because of this, MHA is actually now looking at different options. Most residents would actually like to stay in their unit, but will need some assistance with their daily activities. So most of our villages make use of care workers, like you said, assisting the resident with, for instance, bathing, making the bed, perhaps cooking meals. But meals can also be delivered by the home, and volunteers can also assist with the shopping the resident needs. We encourage our fellow residents to actually assist with the shopping. The reason is it makes them feel like they've still got a purpose in life if they can help a fellow resident. However, when the resident's condition requires 24-hour nursing care, the financial implications is huge. And then one can consider admission to a care unit. But many residents feel that when they are admitted to a care unit, it is a sign that they will die soon. You know, it's the beginning of the end. This is not the case. And I want to make a point here. We have had many residents coming into a frail unit where the staff then assists them to actually get stronger and more mobile. And after a few months, in some cases, even after a few weeks, they were able to go back to independent living. So frail unit is not the end of the line. There is life after that. What would you say is the benefits of independent living?
This is only my own opinion on it. Because I haven't reached that stage of my life yet. In one way, I feel it improves your social connections. When you lose a loved one and you're left alone in your five-bedroom house, sometimes you seclude yourself and you lose those connections of friendships around you. And when you reach that age of 65, 70, whatever age it should be, a lot of your friends have moved into retirement villages. So you lose it. And they don't really want to travel all the way to your home. So you lose those social connections.
And you become very lonely.
Exactly. So mm. moving into a retirement village, you can build friendships again.
Mm.
Or you could move into a village where you have friends already and mm. continue that social life, which is of vital importance.
Mm.
Joining activities in the retirement village would also ensure that you socialize in a lot and prevent you from that loneliness and that isolation that you have in your present home. There's also an end to that continuous home maintenance and repairs, and that's endless, which can be also very costly in a large home located on a large square meterage of land.
Of course.
So when you move into a retirement community, most of the repair work and the maintenance includes your living arrangements. It's included in your levy, and you have a maintenance man on board all the time assisting there. Even if it's to change your light bulb in your home, there is someone to do it for you. One can also benefit from the insured safety and the proper nutrition, because most communities offer a dining area where they provide a balanced meal, and one can also rest knowing that the village has 24/7 security and that there are emergency services looking out for you at all times.
Mm, mm.
Yeah,
so. And there's nothing so terrible to cook for one person.
Yes.
So having your meals delivered to your unit or to go into a dining room where you can actually sit with other people and socialize is yeah. is a huge benefit for me.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. And also with your activities, you know, you can join the knitting club and the conversations that go on there. I've listened to a lot of the conversations. They're mm. wonderful. And when I've noticed when a new resident comes in and they sit with the ladies and they knit, they become
the camaraderie.
Friends.
And then
the next week they go into the shops together, or they're having tea at the unit. It's wonderful to watch that development happening.
Really so is, independent living is really about being independent and to be carefree. You
yes.
don't need to worry about the maintenance. You don't need to worry about food, cleaning your unit. It is really about carefree living.
Estelle, the other wonderful thing about it is that you can lock up and go on holiday.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Knock on the manager's door. I'm going away for 3 months. Keep an eye on my unit. Not I need to phone and find a house sitter and I need to put my dog in the kennels. And
The grandchildren call, Grandma and Grandpa can be there.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Listeners, if you have any question for Lauren or myself, please feel free to phone in on 011-880-5839. I repeat, 011-880-5839, or SMS your questions to 44008. But let's take a break and listen to Happy Days Are Here Again by Barbara Streisand, because that is what retirement is about. A happy time. It should be a happy time in one's life. And when we get back, we'll discuss more about independent living.
This current administration has been beset by many problems, but it's had many accomplishments, a fact that sometimes seems to get overlooked nowadays, you know. I guess it's easier to criticize than to praise. So I'd like to sing this song tonight in celebration of everything that's positive and possible in this great country of ours and around the world.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. So let's sing a song of cheer again. Shout it now, there's no one who can doubt it now. So let's tell the world about it now. Happy days are here again.
audience. Thank you so much. Very welcoming.
The Methodist Homes for the Aged provides affordable, secure and caring accommodation and services to the elderly. We offer a wide variety of accommodation options in secure retirement villages, including rental units, life right units, frail and mid-care. We also offer specialised care for residents with Alzheimer's and dementia. Plan your retirement now. Contact us on 011-787-0330 or visit www.mha.co.za. At Methodist Homes for the Aged, people are our most important asset. Call 011-787-0330.
1485 AM.
Welcome back to 60 Plus, where I'm with Lauren in the studio and we're discussing retirement options, independent living and all those kinds of things. Lauren, moving into a retirement village is a very stressful period for any person, I presume.
Absolutely.
How does one cope with that?
Estelle, so before I go into that, I'd just like to say that many years ago, it was all about financial planning. You know, would I have enough money? And a lot of the organizations that were giving the workshops or the talks were from financial institutions. And nobody really looked at the psychological, the emotional effects that it actually has on a person. I absolutely agree that finances are of great importance, but they forgot about that. And you can have all the money in the world. It's not going to make your emotional situation better.
That's true.
When you're moving into a home, this, of course, is a major life event. It's a milestone. You're 60. This is the last event of your life. This is the last milestone of your life. So, of course, it's going to be extremely stressful for anybody. Despite the many advantages of independent living, making this decision is doubled up more than your whole life. You're giving up so much. You've stopped working. You're no longer set in that status anymore. So it's huge. And with all these emotions and all these psychological things going on in your mind, you start developing physical illnesses through this. And by then, by all the stressing, by the time you actually go for your medical to get into a retirement village, you're not going to make it in. You're going to end up in frail care or mid care.
You've got all kinds of diseases that you didn't know you have.
And you don't. Some people just don't have that support. There's no one there saying, it's all right. It's all right to make this move. I'm here for you. And a lot of parents say, well, I don't really want to put the stress on my children or my nieces or my nephews. You're allowed to. You've been there. You've been standing there for 60 years for them. It's time that you put it back on them as well. And they should be there for you. So, yeah, it's a major psychological and emotional thing for a person. Even if you're looking forward to this increased social opportunity and the companionship offered in independent living, you still grieve that loss of your home filled with memories, your neighborhoods, friends, familiar faces all the time. You need to start adjusting to new faces, which is difficult. A lot of people find it very easy to make friends. Others don't.
The introverts,
yes.
they will have a problem to make new friends.
So I think most of the residents that are friendly people, they would find it easier and easy to cope with. But those that maybe have just lost a partner or are not, who are introverts, they will stay in their homes, in their units for quite a couple of months, and the depression will start, and then they won't want to leave their homes. And this is the difficult side of it. And there's nothing wrong with it. You need to process all of this. You know, you need to process what is going to happen. And this type of move, it can make you feel quite vulnerable and anxious, thus increasing your blood pressure. You may feel as though you're losing control of your life. You may yearn for ways things used to be. It's important to process it and understand that it's quite normal to have these feelings and talk to someone. Express to them how you're feeling. Sit on a bench next to somebody at a bus stop or in a garden center. talk to them about it. Mm. Some people will just listen. They won't necessarily have the answers for you, but they will listen. And you get in and out, and it makes you feel a little bit better. I've really had a longer career working with children than I have with the elderly. And one of the important things that I've noticed is that as children, you know, we're always supported through every milestone. And everybody is always aware and there to assist you. Mm. And then all of a sudden you get to 60 and this is what I have noticed. And there's no one there.
And these milestones of children are celebrated. When they reach a milestone, everybody is ooing and aahing, and you almost feel like you've achieved something. But when a person becomes 60, then it's sort of like the elephant in the room. Let's not rather talk about it.
Yes.
Because retirement is here.
It's a turning point in your life. Mm. It should be a joyous occasion, mm. not something to worry about or to get depressed about. And enjoy every present moment of it.
Mm,
and don't you can't change that past, not anymore. You can have those beautiful memories, of course. And don't look forward to the future.
But just also realize that nobody can take away those memories.
No,
wherever you go, you're going to take it with you.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. But giving up work and things like that and moving into these independent villages, enjoy it. Enjoy that moment. And nobody's saying that you can't work. Nobody at all. You could maybe join committees, gardening committees, event committees. Not that you've been paid for it any longer, but it's a form of control that you would still have.
And it gives you meaning in life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. So aging is always a time of adaptation and change, but it's important to give yourself time to mourn about the past and get used to new ideas. For many older adults, moving to an independent facility can open up an exciting new chapter in your life.
Mm.
Yeah, I've seen in some villages where a couple have met and got married. Wonderful, that's a new chapter in your life.
Found romance in a retirement village.
Yeah, absolutely, they've discovered new interests.
Mm.
You used to like carpentry, now you like something different. You find a new hobby and you start enjoying it. So, you know, it is absolutely a new chapter. And also experience. There's lots of experiences. Just because you've lived till this age doesn't mean you can't continue having these experiences. You know, and it's also building up those memories as well. So it's enjoyable. And friendships. So many friends are made. You could have 300 residents in one community, and out of those 300, you have 100 friends. And they're true friends. They'll be there for you. If you fall down, they'll be there. If you need your shopping, they'll be there.
And I think what makes those friendships so special is the fact that they walk in each other's shoes, literally, because they know what it is like to grow older. They know what it is like to get up in the morning, and it's not so easy to get going. And they also know what loss you suffered before you moved in there, what you had to let go.
Exactly.
You all share the same experience.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I think when you're trying to cope with this, change is difficult.
Always.
People accept it, some people don't. But it is inevitable.
Mm.
You know, it's happening every day of your life. So you need to think about it from that aspect as well. I'd like to urge families, and I'm hoping that daughters and sons and grandchildren also listen to this program, to be there to support your parents or your grandparents through this. They might have all the experience in the world, and they might have gone through all the ups and downs in the world, but this is their last milestone. Celebrate it with them.
Mm. Mm.
I'm not telling them to be there 24 hours and to jump every time mom says so, because I know my mom, she could sometimes just get quite painful. As much as I love her, she got painful, you know. Be there for them, listen to them. That's all they really want. Or have a cup of coffee, take that time out, even with your busy schedule. Usually they only go to bed at 8 o'clock, some at 10. So, you know, there is time for tea and coffee.
Yeah, while you were talking and I just realized how difficult I went through the same experience with my mother. Unfortunately, she did not make that choice on her own. She waited too long. And then we as children had to make the choice for her, which makes it makes a huge difference. If you make the choice, I think you feel in control. If your children make the choice, then you lose all control. Yes. And that is extremely difficult. I remember she didn't want to talk to me for months after that. She was so angry with me. And for her going through the process, I mean, it was not about the decision we made. It was not only about that. It was about losing her car. She was not able to drive because of her eyesight. It was about getting rid of her little dog, because at that stage the home didn't allow dogs. So she had to ask someone to adopt a dog. It was about, it's not about the physical, the furniture, it's about the memories that those physical things carry.
Yes.
The chair my father used to sit in, she had to get rid of that. She had to downscale quite a bit. So that to me is the most important thing that we want to stress today, is to the people that reach the age of 60, try and make this decision before your children have to make it for you.
Absolutely. Yes. And talk about it.
Well, I can't believe time was flying so quickly. Lauren, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and experience with us. Where can the listeners contact you?
At Summit Village, 011-763-7632.
Thank you. Next week, I will be chatting to Dr. Charmaine Blanchard of the Gauteng Centre of Excellence for Palliative Care. We're going to talk about hospice and palliative care. We are signing off. Looking forward to speaking to you next week. Remember to have the conversation about retirement. Do not wait too long.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will he still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me?